And it's so good to have Dell and Denise Cunningham with us again. They were here 2 years ago and did an excellent job of encouraging our hearts and helping us just to serve the Lord with humility, with compassion, with boldness. And just my philosophy in having this leadership training is to just help our hearts to be stirred for serving the people of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. God has called us here to love the people that come through these doors, to minister to them, to encourage them, to serve them, and then also our community. And you are leading, you are in positions of leadership. God is using you in a great way, and I thank God for you. And I had several people that just let me know, Pastor, we regret that we couldn't make it. And I said, listen, I understand, and so we're recording these sessions, and so we'll be able to share those with those that couldn't make it, or for those of us that want to listen to it again, which would certainly be helpful, we will do that. Well, again, Dell and Denise have had a ministry now for, was it two years? We were one of the first meetings, I think, as you guys stepped out in faith. They retired from pastoring there at Boone's Creek Bible Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. And we won't ask you if you're a Tennessee fan today, okay? We just, okay, brother? Alabama? Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to deal with Miss Teresa later, Dell, okay? but they have been. They've been married 43 years and have been in ministry together, serving the Lord together. And God has called them to encourage local churches like ours that are just seeking to make a difference in our community. And I'll say, let him say some more things about how the Lord's working in their life and using them. If you're familiar with the Wild Summer Camp, the past two summers, the Wilds has asked them to come and to minister to the pastors and ministry leaders that come to camp during the summer with their students, with the kids. And so as they're there that week, Brother Dell and Denise, have they been able to just to pour into them and encourage them and shepherd their hearts? And what a wonderful ministry. Today's session, we'll have two sessions here. We'll have a little break in between, but we got sessions one and two. And then the third session before lunch will be split sessions, and men, we will remain here, and the ladies will meet down in the William Carey room. That'll be set up, and then we'll have lunch, then a deacon's session and deacon's wives there at 1 to 1:45. But thank you again for being here. I know it's not easy to give up a Saturday morning. That so many things need to be done around the house, and you know, got activities with kids and just so much going on. So thank you for making the time to be here. The theme of this year's leadership training is really just how to serve and lead through difficult times. We all experience those things personally, corporately, as a church, families. It happens even in your specific ministry. Sometimes you're in a specific ministry where you just are challenged. Maybe it's not people maybe being faithful to Sunday school, or if you got a ministry that's helping the care of the church and you just try to have a hard time maybe getting the volunteers and just trying to figure out, okay, how can we best effectively serve? There's challenges in ministry, and we need to just learn how to, Lord, help us to be faithful. I'm reminded of a Charlie Brown comic that I read recently about Linus and Charlie was sitting there chatting, talking about life, and as they were talking about trials, they were talking about difficult times, and I thought it was funny on Linus's perspective, sometimes ours. He said to Charlie, "I don't like to face problems head on." He said, "I think the best way to solve problems, in fact, is just to totally avoid them." He said, "In fact, this is a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or so complicated that it can't be run away from." That's our philosophy sometimes. It really is. We just want to run from problems. But I want to encourage you today, God's not called us to run from problems. He's called us as servant leaders to walk through issues and problems in life and trusting God to lead us through them. trusting our Savior and the Holy Spirit and the Father, the three in one, to lead us and to help us. We're in a problem, a saturated world, and God has called us to be lights and encouragers and to serve. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Then I'm going to have Brother Mike's going to lead us in a song just to start us off this morning, and then Brother Dale will lead us in our first session. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this good, beautiful morning. Wow, God. You really showed out this morning, just the beautiful sunrise and the fresh dew, and Lord, just the blue sky, just thinking about your blessings. And Lord, I realize there are days like this, and then there are days where it's dreary, it's perhaps cold or rainy. And Lord, I realize it's like that a lot of times in my walk with you. And sometimes spiritually the sky's blue and the sun is shining brightly, and then there's some days, Lord, it just seems so dark. And I just pray that we would be faithful through it all, through every season, that we would trust you, that we would be just led of your Spirit to love the people of this church and to reach the people of this community by your marvelous grace. Thank you for everyone that's come this morning. I pray that they would be especially blessed. I pray you would multiply unto them grace and peace. Oh God, as we listen to you today, as we obey you today, we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, Brother Mike.
Well, good morning. You look comfortable, so I'm not going to have you stand, but we're going to sing three verses of Footsteps of Jesus. So let's sing out as I'm going to turn around here so I can see the words and sing with you. Footsteps of Jesus. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountain, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last, when on high he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus in at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the way. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dale.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with you again. And let me, I mean this, I say this everywhere we go. You would expect the speaker to stand in front of you and to say, it's an honor, it's a privilege, glad to be here, because we all say that, right? Can I tell you? I mean it with all of my heart. It's as if this is the first one. This is the only one. This is the most important one. Because it's Christ, the preeminent one, who matters, not us. And I'm grateful for Brother Brinson and Sister Joanna to be able to be with them again. He has become a fast friend and a hiker buddy. And I was even thinking about him Wednesday when I was on the Appalachian Trail doing a hike wishing he could be with me, because I was standing on top of what's called Hump Mountain. It's 360 view. I mean, it's just phenomenal everywhere up there. And I just laid my pack back and laid down and looked straight up in the sky. Amen. And just rejoiced. But anyway, it is so sweet to be able to travel with my wife. What an honor to have D&D. Back in the 1st of August, it was just D, me. But my son-in-law went with me, and we went up to New Jersey and ministered up there. And so, but I'd rather travel with my wife than my son-in-law. And my son-in-law and I are good buddies. But anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. My whole heart in these sessions today is to encourage you. And if there was ever a day that we need encouragement, it is this morning on September 13th, 2 days after 9/11 Memorial, all that's happened this week, and quite frankly, just what's happened in your lives this week, maybe even this morning. And I want to begin with a passage that gives us outstanding encouragement. And are you ready? And I'm going to invite you to read it with me. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. And of course, reading from the King James. And so I want you to read it with me. Now, I want you to do this too. I want to encourage you that when you read Scripture, you don't just read it. Here's what I mean.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
This is the living Word of God.
Amen, brother.
It's alive. And it never, ever is dull. It is never losing its power. It is fresh.
Yes.
Aren't you glad the donuts were fresh this morning? The coffee was fresh this morning?
Yes.
There's no shelf life to this book. Mm. It's eternal.
Good.
And when I read it, I need to read it just like 44 plus years ago when Denise would write a love letter to me in college. I would have a great day when I'd go to my post office box and there would be a letter from her. And I would pull it out and I would open it and I would smell it, because she'd always put perfume on it. And then I would open it and I would read it. And then I'd read it again. I may be walking down the sidewalk and reading it. And it was just as fresh to me when I got out of the box then as when I got out of the box. You see, that was a fresh love letter. This is our fresh love letter from the Lord.
Amen.
And so I want us to read it that way, with voice inflection, with heart. Okay? Because especially when we get to the very end. All right? So are you ready? Here we go.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Stop right there and say amen. Right? And verse 18, let's read it. You ready? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Did it not just comfort your heart to read that? Would that have not been cool for that to have happened while we were reading that? I've always said, I love reading this at under the funeral tent at the end of service, always hoping the Lord will come when I'm reading this. I mean, I can't think of a better time other than being in the pulpit preaching and it happens, but to be reading this and all of a sudden the graves open up and a twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. Whoa, man, I'm telling you. But I want to draw your attention to a word in verse 18. Wherefore, comfort. The word comfort here means to encourage, to strengthen. And it's a present, active imperative, which this, obviously, an imperative is a command. Being that it's active means you're the subject of, you're the doer of this verb. You are the one who, present tense, this is your life. You live in the reality that Jesus Christ, and even the tense of when we study about Him saying He's coming, the tense of the verb is that He's already on His way. It's not like, well, we've been saying this for 9 to 2,000 years, whatever. I'm just going to hold on till He gets here. No, He's already on the way. Because in the mind of God, it's already done. Instead of us living our life anticipating, well, when's it going to happen? We live our life out of, it's going to happen, and it's as if it already has. Because of the Christ who lives in us. Wherefore, comfort, encourage, strengthen one another. Look in chapter 5, same book, at verse 11. Same word. Wherefore, comfort. It is the word parakaleo from which we have parakletos, the Holy Spirit, that comes alongside us and lives in us. We come alongside people. See, you, I'm going to show you something here in just a moment that will illustrate this. You, the Christ in you, what did Jesus do? Did He stand off from people? No, He even said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and there's no one that can comfort, strengthen, and encourage like Jesus. No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Amen? Meet Him at the throne of mercy. The last phrase went right out of my mind. But anyway, do you remember what it is? He is waiting for you there. That's right, yes. Yeah. What a comforter. Okay? That's us. Wherefore, we come alongside people to encourage, to strengthen. And we're going to develop that word even more a little bit. But notice verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. In other words, it's assumed this is your life. Not because of who and what you are, but because of who and what Christ is in you. And so He says, comfort yourselves, first of all right? So I'm going to spend time at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to come to know the Christ in me so that He encourages me, comforts me, strengthens me, and so on, so that I can turn around in obedience to Him, living out His life, I can encourage others. Because you know what? Here's the bottom line, folks. People don't need to meet you. And you don't want people to meet you. You want them to meet the Christ in you. I can't help anybody. My wife and I held hands and prayed coming over here a while ago. We prayed downstairs a while ago. My wife and I'm just going to tell you right now, and I mean this with all my heart. And the longer we go, the more I realize, my wife and I have nothing to offer you today. You want nothing from me. The flesh profits nothing. but the Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Paul said, for me to live is to serve Christ. Is that what he said? For me to live is to have a good retirement plan. He said, for me to live is, and that's enough. And therefore, when it comes to encouraging others, I can't encourage them. But the more I come to know who lives in me, and the more I come to walk with Him, then He lives, I'm surrendering to Him, and He lives His life through me. And it's Jesus who encourages the people around me, because it was Jesus who's encouraging me everywhere I go. Amen. I remember as a boy, my folks loved music. That's why I have such a love for it as well, and love to sing, and just love music. And there was a singer named Jack Holcomb. My folks used to get his albums all the time. And one of his songs was, I've traveled along this road. My burdens are heavy and dark was my day. And it goes on in the chorus, but now it's Jesus and me for each tomorrow. For every heartache and every sorrow, I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend. And so to the end, it's Jesus and me. Some of you remember that song? The phrase of that song struck me the other day as I was singing it. My newfound friend. Here's some sweet encouragement. Do you realize that the Christian walk with Christ never grows old? He was my newfound friend at salvation, and He continues to be new moment by moment. Amen. And I can say, I've been saved now since I was 5 years old, and I'm 66. So for 61 years, you can see I didn't do well in chemistry. But he's been mine. And you know what? He's as fresh today in newness, walking in newness of life today as he was at the age of 5 when I received him as my personal Lord and Savior. He's my newfound friend. So as I grow in him and as I come to know him, then I'm drawing from him. And then in turn, he is living his life out of me, encouraging others. That's what this verse 11 is saying here. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and then, therefore, you are able to build up one another and give them courage. So, I'm going to ask a question, and we're going to talk about this for a little bit. Number one, why do we need encouragement? Why do we need encouragement? So I want all of you to turn to John chapter 14, would you please? John chapter 14. And I want you to do something with me. I want you to pretend. Let's go back and be children a little bit here. I want you to pretend with me just a minute that we're in the upper room with Jesus in Jerusalem. Any of you been there? Anybody had the opportunity? Okay. A word from our sponsor. You need some time to go to Israel. A second word from our sponsor. You need to send your pastor and wife to Israel sometime. Okay. I'm serious. If you get a chance, as a church, I can even help you. I get no kickback whatsoever. But I can help connect you with an organization that is the real deal. It's not a tourist. It is the real. You will learn so much. I mean, you'll feel like you've been to college. Okay? But nevertheless, picture as best you can. You're in the upper room. Jesus is 24 hours or less away from the cross. Are you there? You're sitting on the floor with Jesus, reclined with Him. And I want you to listen to Jesus as He speaks to His disciples, because quite frankly, He is also speaking to us. Okay, are you ready? And we're answering this question, why do we need encouragement? Just picture, he's just told Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me. Remove out of your mind a chapter break, coming to chapter 14. Jesus, verse 38 of 13, Jesus answered, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. He's speaking, first of all, to Peter here. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now notice verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Can you imagine what's going through their minds right now? Look at chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Now watch this. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you. All these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Go to chapter 16. Starting with verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. Okay, now just think about it. You're going to deny me. Then he speaks to the disciples and he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You're going to be persecuted. And don't be offended. What are we getting ourselves into? Verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Whoa. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Are y'all ready to sign up? You ready for ministry? Are you ready now to begin the local church? I mean, think about what he's telling them there. Verse 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And I got a hunch that when Peter and all of the disciples remembered, went through persecution, and they get tossed out of the synagogues, or that Paul and Silas even in jail, you know, they're thinking, I remember hearing about this. Verse 4, but these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Look at verse 16, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. In verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Now watch this. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now let me ask you a question. I don't know what all the roles that you serve in, whether it's Sunday school teacher, deacon, whatever. I have no idea. Song leader, sound guy, whatever it may be. But you come to Crooked Creek Baptist Church and you believe the Lord wants you to become a member here, so you join, and you believe the Lord wants you to serve. And so you come to Pastor Brinson and you say, hey, he says, well, let's just talk a little bit. Let me just tell you right now, let not your heart be troubled. You're going to endure persecution while you're here. You might even be killed and hated. And I'm not going to always be with you. You're going to be on your own. But be of good cheer. You're going to make it. Guess what? That's reality. Never, ever, ever expect that local church ministry is going to run smoothly. Because if you seek for that, you will always be disappointed. You will always be discouraged. You'll be disenchanted. And quite frankly, you lose your focus of what the church is all about. Can I tell you something? I think we need to understand this. And boy, the Lord has just been reaming my own heart out about this very thing. The church, the local church, the church is an entity, okay? The universal church, every born-again believer, right? Okay? But then those called-out groups of ecclesia, the local churches, what are they to look like? They are to look like what the church is. The church is the body of Christ. And a church is, and I want to applaud you guys, man. This building is a testimony of God's grace and goodness. It's welcoming, it's warm, and it's clean and fresh, and wow, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, okay? But Crooked Creek Baptist Church, when somebody comes here to visit or they come and stay a while, should not say, first of all, man, that's a friendly bunch of people. Now stay with me. Wow, the word is preached there. That's not first. Wow, they've got good programs. No. They ought to walk out of here and say, I saw Jesus. And if that be the case, then ministry is not about my likes and dislikes. Ministry is not about my programs and what I think, and even my vision. Ministry is all about a person. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to develop this. I want to just show you this, and we'll get to it later on, okay? But I think at this point it's very crucial that we see this. Would you run with me to Ephesians chapter 4 just for a moment? And while you're turning there, here's where I want to say at this point, if the church is to look like Jesus and be Jesus, and it's going to have difficult times. It's going to go through persecution. Can I just say it this way? This is going to sound like I don't have any compassion. It's not my heart. But Charlie Kirk's murder should not have surprised any of us. Jesus said it would happen. See, we're so coddled. We're so comfortable in our Americanized Christianity that now it happens and we... Can I take a rabbit trail? It's not a fat rabbit, but I'll just a little... Let me just tell you, you know what I find interesting? And no disrespect to Charlie Kirk. I'm going to tell you, when we in our small group Thursday night, when we prayed for his wife and his children. Breaks my heart when I see that picture. But I'm rejoicing for Charlie. Amen. He's home. Amen. The very Jesus that he stood for. Yeah. He's been in his presence for several days now. One whole day, because eternity is one whole day. Amen? But can I say, isn't it interesting that the death of a man who believes in Jesus has caused Christians to talk about Charlie Kirk everywhere I go? And Charlie Kirk can't change the heart of anybody. But the man who died on the cross to redeem us and rescue us from ourself and himself so that he could give his life to us, to live his life through us, and one day come back for us to bring us to himself, he's the man that we need to be talking about.
Amen.
And I would encourage us that although Charlie Kirk's name's going to come up even probably tomorrow here in conversations, whatever, it ought to immediately draw us to he who is worthy, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
The theme of Crooked Creek Baptist Church should always be Jesus, because he's the theme of themes.
Amen.
He's everything. So much so, look at Ephesians 4 with me, please. And so look at the goodness of the Lord. We're talking about the church. And I just want to dive into this just for a second. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors, pastor teachers, so on. So he gives leaders in the church. The leaders, they do what? Their goal is to equip the saints so the saints can do the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. And so we stop right there and we say, yes, we have pastors and we have leaders and we have teachers and whatever to equip people. And okay, let's go do ministry. And we're off. Flags furling. I mean, we've got our vision and we're ready. And we have totally forgotten verse 13. Here's why you have verse 11 and 12. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. Okay, what's unity of the faith? Faith has to have an object, and that object is Jesus Christ. So until we teach, we equip, so that we come to know the doctrines of Christ, the doctrine of who God is, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is a little side note. If I am to come to know Christ, then why are we not teaching our children Christ? Why are we not, even as parents, we want them to get their math homework, but we're not teaching them Jesus, who is life. Till they come to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a, watch this, perfect man. The word man is singular. Who's the perfect man? It's Christ. The mature man is Christ in us, because he says, unto the measure of the stature. Who's the standard? Who's the stature? Whatever. It's Christ. The fullness of Christ, to come to know who he is. You can disagree with me, I'll love you, but I'm going to tell you what, until a church is determined in its leadership and in its training that we come to know Christ, who is the church, we are off. We're off beam. We should be going north when we're going, just like me this morning. I trusted my GPS. My brother Charles, he said it'd be 3 minutes over to the church. I got out of there. My GPS took me around something, Chapel Road over here. But I did get to see a deer, you know, and whatever. And what became 3 minutes became 11. I'm just going to tell you right now, every Sunday school class, every deacon's meeting, every Sunday school training, whatever it may be, the ministries that you have, we ought to be able to walk away and say, I've seen the Lord.
Amen.
And that the days come that we can say, it's Jesus. We've grown into the fullness of the stature of who Jesus is. Okay, so I promised I didn't want to teach this, but I want you to get the picture. So let's back up a moment here. The church is Jesus. It's the body of Christ, right? So what's the church to look like? Christ. So if the church is going to look like Christ and be Christ, then I guess we better learn Christ. Because here's the bottom line. no one can encourage you like Jesus. And the more you come to know Him, sweeter as the days grow by. I remember hearing years ago, sweeter as the days go by, sweeter as the days go by, richer, fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Yeah. Even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of D&D Ministries, coming to Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and we get here and realize we're late because our GPS took us another way, and we forgot something, had to go back to the house to get it. Thank you, Lord. You want to know why? Because it's a lesson all of us need to learn. You're not in control. God's good at knocking the slats out from under you. God says, you know, 1 Peter and James, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Now please, I'm not discounting at all the power of Satan at all. But I'm going to just tell you this, this is my heart. I think we give him too much credit. And I don't live my life going around all over the place looking for him under every bush. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Satan is a defeated foe. He's still on the move. He's still accusing the brethren. He is not going to be cast out until after the great white throne judgment. But I have an old sin nature that's very active. An old sin nature that just loves me, and I love it. Because I love being Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Because I think my way's best. And sometimes we'll say, man, Satan sure was after me today. I think we need to stop and ask the Lord, Lord, was it you allowing Satan to work against me, or was it just your loving hand resisting me? One of the sweetest things that God does for us is convict us through the power of the Holy Spirit to say, don't go that way. Don't go there. You ever gotten up in the middle of the night and forgot to close the door and it's open or whatever, and you hit a door in the middle of the night? You ever done that? Stub your toe? Come on now. Have you ever done that? Something like that? Okay. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't it feel good? Just encourages you, you know? The loving hand of God is many times in our churches saying, watch this, don't go there. Don't go there. In all of our conversations, especially at the Wilds, I've yet to have one pastor when I say to him, so tell me, what's God been doing in your church? How's He been showing Himself? This is what I always hear. Oh, brother, God's been blessing. We've seen souls saved. We've seen growth in the church. I mean, it's just, amen, hallelujah. I'll rejoice. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, right? Well, I've yet to hear a pastor say, are you ready? I'm telling you what, God is blessing us abundantly. Our offerings are down. We've lost two or three people, two families. We've gone through some hard times here of late. But you know what? We're the body of Christ, and He was persecuted too. He was crucified. His disciples all left Him. I'm telling you, when we use the American standard metric for whether a church is successful or not, we're always going to come up on the short end of the stick. I beg you. I beg you. Every one of you come to know Jesus. Your passion every morning is show us Christ. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I'll walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Jesus himself even said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Say that again. Say it again. Let me ask you, how much have you learned of Jesus this past week? For two reasons. Number one, you don't live your life. Please get this. Jesus, I'll just say it this way. You cannot live the Christian life. Jesus didn't live the Christian life. Jesus is the Christian life. See, if we say Jesus lived the Christian life, then, okay, give me this Christian life, and boy, we're going to come up with all kinds of do's and don'ts, aren't we? It's called religion. Okay? But when I realize that Jesus is the Christian life is Him living His life out of me. Paul said it this way, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but that's right. You want encouragement? When I'm standing here looking at you and I'm going to make an assumption, I don't know why I would even think any other way, that every one of you in this room are truly born again believers. Amen? Okay? I've met Christian. That's all right, Becky. All right? I know Charles and Teresa. And of course, I know Brinson and Joanna. And I've met Jeff and Vanetta back there. And of course, Mike and Noel. And I know Dan and Edie, right? Am I right? Yes. Okay? And I'll learn some of your other names here or be reminded of them. Tim back there too, I believe, right? No. Tom. I was close. What's a vowel? Can I buy a vowel? So I look at you and I can call you by name. Here's the sweetest part. Yeah, I'm looking at Charles, but you know who I'm really looking at? Jesus. Wow. I realize. Man, I still sin. I have an old sin nature. But I'm going to tell you what, our perspective of encouraging one another would so change when we understand that it's the Jesus in me speaking to the Jesus in Charles. Without me, John 15:5, how many of you know that one? Without me, what? You can do nothing. I can't even encourage somebody else. And I especially cannot encourage somebody else if I'm not being encouraged by the Jesus in me. As the Holy Spirit magnifies Him. Holy Spirit has one job. I mean, the number one job of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have one job. The number one goal of the Holy Spirit is to magnify Jesus Christ. I'm serious. You want to know if you're in your Sunday school class, in your deacon's meeting, in your youth group, whatever it may be, that it was honoring to the Lord. It's when people walk out and they don't go, wow, what a service. They walk out and go, what a Savior. Because I can get excited, man. Brother Brinson and I, we love being at the Wilds together. Because we got all these other stuff-shirted fundamentalists around me who are singing, and Bernard Brinson and I are going like this. Amen. Yeah. But it's the Christ in us. See, my wife and I, we struggle in our marriage. When Dale wants to go his way, Denise wants to do her thing. But when we're both walking in Christ and He's living His life, then we're both encouraged. I'm just going to tell you, we could. And I hate to tell you this right now, because you just say, well, why don't we just do that? But I can just tell you right now, come to know Christ. Live in the sweet fragrance of who He is. And you will be encouraged, and you'll be an encouragement to others. Okay, you can go home now. Seriously. So, why do we need encouragement? So let's go all the way back to John 14. Because Jesus said you would. You're going to go through hard times. Crooked Creek Baptist Church is going to have difficult days. Because it's the body of Christ. Don't be surprised. Jesus said, because he's talking to, now here's the thing, he's talking to the very men who are going to be, are just 50 days away from Pentecost and the beginning of the church age. Right? And the starting of the gospel ministry that he talks about in Matthew 28 of making disciples. And he says, I just want to tell you, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation. It goes into Acts. And Acts chapter 1 says, you're continuing the ministry of Christ. This is not Crooked Creek Baptist Church's ministry. This is not Brother Brinson's ministry. This is not Brother Mike's ministry. This is not a, this is Jesus' ministry. Everywhere Jeff goes, Vanetta, wherever, the Lord leads them in days to come. Hallelujah for the opportunity to be able to build and construct buildings and so on and help, whatever. But more than that, for the very purpose of connecting with people.
Yeah.
They're going to have tribulation. They're going to have difficulties. And when they come, it shouldn't rattle us. And it shouldn't discourage us. And when I just said that, I said it with the reality that if I could go back and redo 40 years of ministry, the number one thing I would do is enjoy it more than I did. Because the joy of the Lord is our. Rejoice in the Lord always. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore. See, I can't rejoice. See, here's where we're struggling in our Christian walk with Christ, is that we think we've got to just do a little better. We just strive and just do a little better. If I can just motivate you and as I'm standing here today, I'm going to tell you there's not one ounce in me that is looking at you saying, okay, I want to help you now. All right, folks, let's go. And in a little bit, by the way, make sure you get something to eat, because when we come back after a bit, we're going to do some calisthenics and get you pumped up here, okay? All right, let's go, man. Come on. We're going to fight this fight. No. I have in me the one who has already won. I'm not marching to victory. I'm marching from victory. And we're more than conquerors through Christ. And so here's the deal. We think, if I just do a little better, I just do a little better. Well, how's that working for you? It's discouraging. Because when are you going to reach betterment? When in reality, at the point of salvation, you're made complete in Christ, Colossians chapter 2. And you have everything you already need. I'm going to illustrate it this way. I had no idea what my wife and I were going to walk into last night when we entered into Charles and Teresa's house. Because I've never been there. But being the host and hostess that they are, we went downstairs, walked in that downstairs living quarters. And I, in a minute, could tell that sweet lady had done some work ahead of time to provide for her guest. Walked into the kitchen, and there was, it's homemade. I could tell, it's good. Homemade, a jar of homemade granola. Even two spoons wrapped up in a paper towel. Two bowls, strawberries in the refrigerator, milk, whatever. I walked in there this morning and I said, okay, I'm going to do better. I'm going to eat better today. I'm going to strive to be able to get something good to eat. I know what? I better go out and milk those goats so I can have some milk. No, I walked in the kitchen this morning. I put the granola in the bowl, cut the strawberries. She had even cored them for us. I sliced them, put them in there. Poured a little milk on it, fixed how I wanted it. Prepared it for my wife, took her a bowl. And we ate. That's Christianity. At the point of salvation, the table's already spread. The strawberries are already cored. The milk's already in the refrigerator. All you have to do is, here's where the will is involved, is to appropriate, surrender to the Christ in you and receive, not achieve, but receive what you already have. You talk about freedom in serving the Lord. Because there's not one of us in here can do better, and reach the point of, I'm mature now. I am woman, hear me roar. Here's my husband, hear him snore. You know, whatever. I mean, I've arrived. Because the moment that I say I've arrived and I think I'm mature, then all of a sudden I become proud. And God will not share His glory with anybody. How then do I come to know the Christ who wants to live His life out of me? I come to study Him and learn Him. And when I am at a time in a class that things don't seem to be going well in the church, then I go to the pantry of God's Word and I pull down Isaiah 26:3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. I don't have to ask Jesus to give me peace. I have complete peace in Him. I just take what's already mine. I go to the pantry and I pull down off of the shelf Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We are complete in Christ. And every one of us is leaders in here. Your greatest encouragement is the person of Jesus, who has done everything necessary to be able to rescue you from you and from Himself, because you don't want to face Him at the great white throne judgment. And to live His life through you, because He's not interested that Crooked Creek Baptist Church would look like you. He wants it to be Him. More than look like Him, He wants it to be Him. And so when you get up tomorrow morning, you say, Jesus, it's not me, but it's Christ in me. And Jesus, who do you want me to talk to today? What do you want me to say? You speak through me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I love Philippians 2:13, and we'll end right here. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Is that not wonderful? See, that's why a moment ago I didn't say to you, I'm going to work you up, I'm going to get you going here, whatever. Why would I even want to do that? I'm not your motivational speaker. I heard someone this summer. They said, how do we keep this momentum from camp going? And I heard somebody say, well, when you get home, just keep the momentum going. I mean, how do we take camp home? Just keep the momentum. Well, how long is that going to work? About 15 seconds outside of the front gates, right? Because that's all faith on you. When it's God who works in you and is doing it right now, both to will. Because I'm going to tell you what, sometimes in ministry, you want to turn in your badge. The old flesh, things don't work the way you think they should. Instead of your expectation coming from the Lord, it comes from you or other people, or what you think other people are expecting of you. It's one of the number one downers for pastors. If you've got a church of 200 people, he's got 200 expectations times 10 on top of him. And I'm just speaking out of my heart of love here. You teach a class, same thing. Everybody comes into your class expecting something, right? Your youth group or whatever. If it's not Jesus, then it's wood, hay, and stubble. So God, he works, gives you the willing, even when offerings dip, people leave, difficult times come. Who keeps you going? I'm going to tell you right now, there were many a day in ministry I wanted to quit. But it was God working in you, in me, in my wife, because she got some of the brunt of things in ministry as well. Both to will and then to what? To do of whose good pleasure?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 10:31, say it with me. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God for His good pleasure. Amen? We're not here for us. We're here because of the Christ who lives in us. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. So for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What encouragement. So I can't encourage others until I understand the encouragement of the encourager who is in me. And why do I need it? Because he said, you're going to have tribulation. This world ain't going to work like you think. There's going to be difficult days, and you might even get killed. But be of good cheer. I overcome the world. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Close your eyes. What does the Lord put into a sentence what God has said to you? I'm serious when I ask you, put into a sentence what God has said to you. Just ask Him, Lord, what is it you've said to me? What do I need to understand? Now that you have it, thank Him for speaking to you.
Yes, Father.
And ask Him what He's wanting to work out of your life by virtue of what He said to you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of meeting with these dear folk today. Continue to show us Christ. Teach us your way. Lord, thank you that we can live in the freedom and joy of Jesus,
yes,
knowing that today, that in Christ we have all.
Yes.
So may we fellowship in a sweet way together. As Jesus in us talks to the Jesus in others. Enjoying, laughter, encouraging, praying, weeping. It's through you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you to do something right now. I want you to, if your spouse is with you, I want you to turn to your spouse right now and each share with them what your sentence was. Right now, if your spouse is, share your sentence with each other right now. Okay, what was your sentence? And if your spouse is not here and you feel free enough to do so, share it with someone seated near you, next to you or whatever. I'm not asking you to do it, but I'm being a little more pushy with couples than... So now I want you to take your spouse by the hand, and men, you pray with your spouse right now about those two things. And if your spouse is not here, would you pray right now for the person beside you, whether they shared or not? Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. And all the believers said, Amen.